Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, if you would. Luke chapter 18, page 851 in your Red Pew Bibles. And then also, if you want to look ahead, we're going to be out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 a little bit. 2 Corinthians 4, that's page 937. So 851 and 937. And I hope you'll choose to follow along. We read God's word together. I know I'm not going to ask you ever here, because I know we all have heard when we call customer service and we hear those dreaded words, "Your call is important to us. Please stay on the line," right? And then 20 minutes later, we've heard that phrase a couple times and we're still listening to the same old music. And we start wondering, is anybody there? Right? Is anybody there? So you start asking yourself, well, how much longer am I going to hang out here? Should I just go ahead and hang up, because it doesn't seem like anybody's listening? Sometimes prayer feels like that. I mean, we know God's there. We know God hears us. But when the answer just doesn't come as quickly as we hoped that it would, we start wondering if our prayers, are they really accomplishing anything at all? What's the use of keeping praying? And so Jesus tells us this parable for those moments when we are tempted to hang up on God. So let's look at Luke chapter 18. We'll start in verse 1. Before we do, let's pray. All right. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this time of worship. What a blessing that we come in here as brothers and sisters in Christ, enjoy fellowship, and then turn our hearts and our minds to focus on you. And Lord, we spent some time blessing you. And now, Lord, you want to bless us. As we look into your word and begin to wrestle with it, ponder it, dissect it a little bit. Lord, you want to show us yourself. You want to bless us. You want to show us how we can live that abundant life. And so, Lord, we kind of give you permission here today to change us, to make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Okay, Luke chapter 18. Now, if you remember last week how Jesus had given some chilling news about the future, when the Son of Man was going to reveal himself, when the kingdom of God was going to be revealed, Jesus told his listeners, man, it's going to be really apocalyptic. And we talked about how it was actually just 40 years later when the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple came about. But Jesus is telling them that in the future, there's going to be some really, really difficult times. And so we can imagine the disciples, as they ask the one question, where's this going to all take place? And so he can see in their eyes the wonder, the fear, the questions that they have as Jesus is talking about the future. So he had to address those concerns and give the disciples a little bit of encouragement. So we read in verse 1, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Now, for some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God, I don't care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. That word attack me means literally give me a black eye. that's what it means. Let's see. Verse 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Here we get another strange parable from Jesus a little bit, because it's natural we start thinking, well, okay, God is the judge and the woman is us, and we're just supposed to badger God over and over and pray and pray and pray and keep hassling to God, and then he'll give us what we're asking for. But actually, Jesus is inviting us to compare God with an unjust judge who ends up giving justice to the widow. And so God and this judge are actually in opposite ends of the spectrum. If you think about it, this judge is unjust and unfair. They usually took bribes back in the day. But God is not like that. God is just. God is fair. God is honest. This judge shows his compassion reluctantly, right? He's going to show compassion just to get the woman off of his back. Well, that's not what we know about God. The Bible says God willingly shows compassion. It is one of the trademarks, one of the hallmarks of God. This woman was a stranger to the judge. We are God's children through faith in Jesus. This woman was insignificant to the judge. She's just a woman. She shouldn't even been in the courtroom, right? Because the women didn't go there. They couldn't give testimony. But we are God's creation. We are made in the image of God with an incredible amount of worth. And so here in this story, the judge is not God. And we are not supposed to pester him until he relents and gives us what he asked for, what he asked for. Notice again what Jesus says in verse 6. Listen, just listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, if a crooked judge who doesn't care about God, doesn't care what people think, and he ends up doing what is right and giving justice, don't you think God, who loves you and cares for you and has an incredible amount of compassion, don't you think God is going to answer you and take care of you? And then Jesus ends with three big questions that we want to look at. The first two of which we usually wonder about when we encounter challenging times. The first one is found in verse 7. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? And the first question that emerges from this parable is this: is God going to fix this problem? Is God going to fix this problem? Is God going to right the wrongs that I've experienced in life? This suffering that has happened to us, which there are times we feel, well, I don't deserve this. Why? God, what did I do that I'm having to deal with this? I mean, we want justice. We want fair treatment because we've been hurt, and it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair that God has allowed this to happen. Because we're looking all around. It's not happened to other people. Why is it happening to us? And we've been praying for a while. And so we're asking, is God ever going to do something about this? This has gone on long enough. My 4-year-old granddaughter, Scotty Jo, she's into puzzles right now. And it's really nice. You know, you ever watch little kids put together puzzles, right? And they take get it started, and you put together a piece, and they're sometimes forcing a piece into a place where it doesn't belong. You know, they'll maybe turn it, you know. Now, from their perspective, it's like, well, this should go right here. Why doesn't it go there? But we as adults, as we stand over them, we kind of go, it's got a different color. That shape doesn't really fit. What are you doing that? You know, and we look at the picture in the box, or just we kind of know what's going on, why it won't fit. And a lot of times that's what's going on in our life, is that we see one or two pieces of the puzzle. And God sees the whole puzzle. God sees the whole picture on the box. The answer to the question, is God going to fix my problem? The answer to that question is yes, but probably not according to your plan. We need to remember that God is working from a vantage point that we cannot yet see. God's ways are different than our ways. And he will bring about and be able to fix things. And he will fix things probably differently than we would. And we trust that God knows what he's doing. The second question comes in verse 7. Will he keep putting them off? Now, that's an interesting question. In other words, we're asking, how long now? Okay, I'm going through this stuff. How long am I going to have to wait before God steps in? How long of this pain and suffering? How long am I going to have to deal with this trial? This is a picture of someone who's demanding justice, demanding that something is done, and praying for God to do something. And you kind of get the picture that God's just kind of stepping back going, just waiting, right? It's like, if we could see God sometimes, we would just, what are you waiting for? What, you know, you see me, God sees everything. What are you waiting for? God, don't you see that this situation could be better? Why, if I didn't have to go through this? A number of years ago, Janet Norris, I didn't tell you this, but I'm sorry. Yeah, so a number of years ago, she gave me an elephant plant. And it has been in my living room ever since. And it has grown nice and big and tall, big leaves and stuff. Put it out on the porch in the summer, bring it in the winter. But over time, it's been a number of years, I got pretty much a stalk, and now I got leaves coming out here. And the leaves didn't look that great this past spring. And so I'm just thinking, man, this is ugly, you know. And Diana's often tell me, get rid of your ugly plants, right? And so I thought, well, you know, what I always hate throwing out plants. It's some type of murder in there, I know. I just hate throwing out plants. So I thought, you know what? And I got on the internet, how do you know, can you save this thing? And, you know, I said, so what I saw was, you know, cut this thing off. Just take this root ball. It's in the dirt. And I cut everything off, just the thing that, to stump, and I put it in another pot. I repotted it, put it outside, and watered it, and watered it, and watered it, and watered it. You know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5, 6 weeks, nothing. 7 weeks, nothing. And I was at the point where I'm just saying, okay, well, I guess you can't do it like that. For whatever reason, I killed it, okay, and just take it, and I'm ready to just hoof it into the garden, let it become mulch with everything else. Until one day I looked and there was this little leaf coming up. And man, I was so excited, right? I was so excited. And Mark, put that picture up. And this is what it looks like now, okay? So some other leaf had started to come up. You know, so it took 2 months later. And, you know, I think sometimes we look at God the same way. We have our own timetable of how things ought to work out. And when God doesn't follow our timetable, we're tempted to think, well, I guess this part of my life that I've been praying to God, I guess this part is dead. I'm just ready to chuck it. Let's just chuck it. Because I don't think God's paying attention. I don't think God cares, right? And one of the things that Jesus teaches us is that God works according to his own timetable, not ours. Oswald Chambers said this in commenting on this scripture. He said, some prayers are followed by silence by God because they are wrong, meaning we pray for the wrong thing. But sometimes the answer is bigger. Sometimes God doesn't answer because the answer is bigger than we can understand. In other words, if we fully knew and understood what God was doing in our lives, what mystery was God that God was doing us, the transformation that God was working in us, what he was asking of us to do, we would either step in and try and take charge, or we would just stop the whole process and just say, I'm not interested in that. You see, God's timing is always wiser than ours. Now, the Apostle Paul, as he was going around planting churches, he encountered an incredible amount of difficulties and persecution. I mean, this guy was, he would go into town and present the gospel, tell people about this wonderful guy by the name of Jesus, and they would flog him, and they would beat him, and they would stone him. He had been shipwrecked. He was constantly harassed. He says he was cold, hungry, naked, and homeless. And he's describing this situation to the Corinthians that he had been going through just to say, hey, listen, this is, you know, this hasn't been a picnic. Let me tell you everything I've been through. And then he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, page 937 in your Red Pew Bibles. He said this starting in verse 4. I think it's verse 4. It might be verse 8. He said, we are hard-pressed on every side, meaning we're getting it from all ends, man, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. Now think about that. Think about that word perplexed. Paul here is doing the work of God, and he's experiencing suffering while he's planting churches. He's doing the work of God, and these people are beating him up, and it leads him to internally ask these very same questions. And he's perplexed. He's got, you know, he's trying to make sense of it all. God, you're calling me to do this good stuff, yet all this horrible stuff is happening to me. How does he keep going? How does he, like Jesus says, not give up? Well, if you go ahead a couple of verses down to verse 14, he tells us. He said, because we know the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. Verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Here's the first thing that Paul realizes, is that the difficulties that we experience now are temporary. They're temporary. They're not going to last forever. I often say up here is that this, what we experience here on this earth, this is not all that there is. That long valley of the shadow of death that the psalmist talks about in Psalm 23, that is going to end. It's not going to be for the rest of your life. And one day, we read in verse 14, one day we will be raised just like Jesus was. Just like Jesus was, into a better life. And then he says in verse 16, though outwardly we are wasting away. Think about that. Okay, I'm getting beat up. You ever feel like you're wasting away? Okay, as you go through junk, you're just like, man, this is, Paul says, outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. That word renewed means we're being changed into a new person. We're allowing Jesus to change us, transform us into a new person. Author Bob Benson recalls a conversation that he had with a friend of his after his friend had had a heart attack, and for a while it seemed like he wasn't going to make it, but then his friend recovered. And so a couple months later, Bob had asked him a series of questions. He asked him, well, how did you like your heart attack? And his friend said, well, it scared me to death. Almost. Well, would you do it again? No. Would you recommend it? Bob asked. His friend said, definitely not. And then Bob said this. He said, does your life mean more to you now than it did before? Well, yeah. You and your wife always had a beautiful marriage, but are you closer now more than ever? Yeah. How about that new granddaughter? Yeah. Have I showed you a picture lately? Do you have a new compassion for people, a deeper understanding and sympathy? Yes, I do. Do you know the Lord in richer fellowship than you ever realized? And he answered, yes. And then Bob asked the question, so how did you like your heart attack? You see, in persevering, we become more like God has created us to be. God has created us to become like Jesus. And oftentimes, the best way to do that is to allow us to go through suffering. God is at work, and he tells us all throughout Scripture that he is at work, doing a good work in us, in the difficult times that we go to make us better human beings like he created us to be, and ultimately to become like Jesus. And then we read in verse 18, 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul says this, so, because of all this, so we fix our eyes, not in what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Here's the third thing that Paul focused on, and that is this. Focus your life on the things that Jesus talks about. Focus your life on the eternal things of the kingdom. When things get out of whack, when things seem to stay out of whack, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon the things of the kingdom. These are what are most important. These are the things that will last. I tell you often from here, you should read the words of Jesus every day. You should read the words of Jesus every day. That helps us to stay focused on eternal matters. Then as Jesus finishes this parable, he ends with that third question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will Jesus find faithful people when he returns? And based on this very short parable of the widow who hounds the judge, what do faithful people look like? Faithful people aren't just people who say, they're a Christian. Faithful people aren't just people who say, oh, out of all the choices out there, I think Jesus is the best. I'll go with Jesus. Faithful people aren't people who just come to church or put money in the offering plate every once in a while. Faithful people are people who are trusting in God when wrong seems to win. Faithful people are people who are trusting in God when wrong seems to win. You think about the World Cup and think about the devotion that you see if you watch any of it, devotion of the fans, people dedicated, sold out to their team, sold out to their country. That's the kind of devotion that we as Christians should have, that we are sold out, trusting in God no matter what, that we don't bail if we ever have questions or doubts, or something goes wrong in the world that we can't make sense of. It's okay to have questions and doubts. It's okay. Paul was perplexed. It's okay where we're perplexed. But we keep persevering. We keep following Jesus. We keep following his teachings. Faithful people are people who are talking to God when his absence seems obvious. We continue praying. Continue talking to God multiple times throughout the day. Friends, let me tell you, you can talk to God anytime, anywhere. It doesn't have to be in here. It doesn't have to be, okay, let me open the Bible and let me say the Lord's Prayer. And da, da, da. No, you can have a conversation with God. Lord's Prayer is a great thing to follow. But talk to him multiple times throughout the day, multiple times throughout the week. Even when his presence seems, his absence seems obvious. Number three, faithful people are toiling for God when it doesn't seem useful or worth it. The widow doesn't simply believe and pray. She persists. She keeps acting out her faith. And when Jesus, as he ends this parable by asking whether he will find faith on the earth when he returns, faith is seen in people who keep serving, who keep obeying, who keep following, even when you don't see results, even when you don't feel good, even when you say, oh, this, ah, what's the use? Keep doing it. In the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City, excuse me, Tanzanian marathon runner John Stephen Akwari suffered severe cramps as he was running this marathon. And he fell during the race. He gashed his knee. He dislocated the joint and injured his shoulder. Most assumed that he was just going to quit. But instead, he received some medical treatment. He got back up and he continued running the marathon. More than an hour after the winner had crossed the finish line, Akwari entered the stadium alone. He was limping, and it was long after the medal ceremony had gone on, and the crowd that remained there rose to cheer him across the finish line. And then he was asked, well, why didn't you just give up? And Akwari gave an answer that has become legendary. And he said this, my country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. And friends, Jesus didn't just call us to start this race of following him. He didn't just call us to become a Christian, to go to heaven. He called us to follow him and finish this race. So when life seems unfair, when God seems silent, when faithfulness seems costly, don't lose heart, Jesus says. Keep trusting God. Keep talking to God. Keep toiling for God. And when Jesus returns, may he find us still faithfully running the race that he has set before us. Would you bow your heads, please? And during this time of silence, I want you to just listen. Listen for God speaking to you in regards to this scripture. Just listen for God's voice. Now that you have heard God speak to you, what is he leading you to do next? Father God, we thank you that you are not like the unjust judge in our story today. You are perfect. You are just. You are full of mercy. You are always attentive to the cries of your children, even when we cannot see what you're doing. Would you remind us that you see the whole picture? Remind us that your ways are higher than our ways. Would you remind us that your timing is always perfect. Lord, I know there are people in our congregation today who are weary from waiting. People waiting for healing, waiting for justice, waiting for reconciliation, waiting for answers, waiting for relief. Lord, I ask that you would pour out your grace upon them today. Would you strengthen those people who are tempted to lose heart? Would you give us faith to keep trusting in you when wrong seems to win, to keep talking to you when it seems like you're silent, and to keep serving you even when we cannot see the fruit of our labor. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would shape us through every trial that we go to, shape us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Lord, would you help to fix our eyes on those kingdom things that are eternal, and give us strength to faithfully keep running the race that you have set before us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.